Welcome to the MHI Cast, the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to uncover their supply chain stories. We explore real-world case studies and get unique perspectives on key trends and emerging technologies from every corner of the material handling, logistics, and supply chain space. Welcome to a special MHI podcast here live at ProMat 2025, where we're going to be talking about the annual industry report. Now, this is a unique podcast where we talk to the industry's leaders about real case studies and the emerging best practices and technologies. Today, we're talking with John Paxton, CEO of MHI, and Wanda Riddick-Johnson. She is the Supply Chain Technology Fellow at Deloitte Consulting. Now, we're talking about the annual industry report, and so I appreciate that you both joined us for this conversation. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Now, I want to start with you, John. This year's annual industry report theme is about the digital supply chain ecosystem and orchestrating end-to-end solutions. Why was that theme important for this year's report? How do you think it's going to resonate?
Over the course of the past four years, we saw development of innovations of the products and the technologies, and then we saw the capture of data and information. And this year's report brings it together where you have the data in a usable format, connecting the technologies to give you end-to-end visibility to your supply chain. So the theme is about orchestrating the supply chain, and it's not just having the visibility, the orchestration comes from being able to adjust, being able to make changes, having the tools and systems in place so that if there is a disruption, you can actually orchestrate what you should do about it. So that's the theme of the report this year.
That idea of end-to-end solution, it means that you're going to get a lot of different insight from this report, and I know that you've applied it in different ways, but Wanda, are you seeing some kind of emerging tech or trend from it already that you would like to speak to?
Oh yes, so number one, as he was talking about, you think about the end-to-end, and that's every stage of your supply chain. So for one of the top trends that we all know has been a big topic right now is AI. And with AI, it's not only the AI, the Gen AI, and how do we actually do more, we ask the question, we get a response back, but now moving more toward agentic AI, where that now, hey, how do I take repetitive tasks? So I think about in industry, which I do, and my background, number one is repetitive tasks like demand planning, forecasting, inventory management. Those tasks are repetitive. So how can I take this data and string it along and get all that data together where that now I don't have to have Susie doing all that work, but Susie now can step back and look at the outcome and say, okay, is this the correct information? Is this right? Because no matter what you have as far as data, you got to think about how good is your data. So one thing, I know you talked about the trends, that's one trend. It ties to agility and resilience. So how quick are you agile and how quick can you respond back to some of the data issues that you're having? Taking that a step further, being more resilient in your supply chain, how do I now take each one of those sections of the stages like he was talking about and say, okay, now how does those connect? But where is it broken in my supply chain? What do I, and that's why we really took that topic of orchestration, because that end-to-end is not only AI, it's supply chain resiliency, it's also your inventory challenges, as I talked about one of the inventory issues, but also it's coupled with how can I make sure that with economic uncertainty, with all the things that's going on, how can I bounce back and adapt to those changes in the market?
I love that you pulled out a few different trends there, and it sounds like your team is using them actively, which is really exciting to hear. John, would you add to that in the sense of what trends or technologies that you look for when you're getting all this data, when you're seeing the report for the first time? What are you looking at?
One of the key things we saw in the data is the rise of the adoption of AI. So what we saw is that 28% of the companies are currently using it, but then over the next 5 years, that is expected to rise to 85%. And that AI tools, the tools now have evolved, where 2 years ago it was a concept and it was an idea and people didn't really understand it. But now there's real live tools that help you to take all the data that we're talking about and basically orchestrate it, because you get reliable information that you can use. And so that is a theme that we've seen the development of AI. In the previous report, we just really introduced it, you know, the term generative AI, and people were saying, what is that? And we explained it. And now there's a new term, agentive AI, and that takes it even to the next level, where you can even take the person out of the decision process. So it's really interesting to see how that has evolved and how people expect that that will continue to evolve in their business.
I think that's so exciting because already we're pulling out big differences in what you're seeing from one report to the next. Are there any other kind of changes or trends in this year's report from past years that you would call out?
Well, one, we talked about last year's report, digital transformation, but it really focused on more of the technologies from tech-driven, human-centric. But now, if you we looked at the, I can't remember all the numbers. John is good with that one. But as far as the digital transformation, it's not whether you just focus on the technologies, but how do all those technologies actually connect together? Because we actually talked about legacy systems and how people have legacy systems, but now how do you move forward with the new new AI, all the other things that come into play to actually connect all of your... The biggest thing is what we really want people to come out with is how, where do you see yourself within that supply chain linkage? And based on that, digital transformation is very important. Also, as I talked about, inventory challenges. But then let's look at all the technology. We have cloud computing came back in, but it's not as big as it was before. And then we actually had other technologies that come to play, but like wearables. Wearables was really big 2 years ago, but now the trend has changed. And with wearables, that is a technology, but how do you actually now connect all that together? And wearables, I'm talking about, there are devices and all that, so.
Sure, I'm sure there's lots of things that we can dig into there. And I like that you're talking about kind of past to present now. Are there other disruptors that we're seeing in this year's report?
The robotics and automation piece continues to advance. And the idea, similar, I kind of go back and look back, you know, 5 years ago, there wasn't all that much robotics and automation, like handling, picking and goods to person. It was coming up, but now it's really advanced and really developed. So you can see the adoption of that becoming more and more in the companies where before it was a pilot, it was a concept, it might, you're not sure if it's going to work. And now it's really moved into the, I call it the production phase, where it's just part of your process and part of your business process. And that's helping, you know, when the drive for driving costs down, the drive for e-commerce continues to rise, the customer demands, I want it today. You know, all of these things are putting the pressures on the organizations, and the source or the way out is automation, it's building efficiencies in your process, and it's incorporating the data. You know, those are the masterpieces that come together.
And what I like to add to that is, the biggest elephant in the room to most people is workforce and talent shortages. And that is one that we've always have that section in our report. But as we moved to today in the report, we saw that it actually moved up into one of in our top five trends. It's always been up there, but now it's more of how do I actually use AI and other technologies to help upskill? So now I have my end users that used to walk the warehouse, 10, 20,000 steps. As he talked about goods to person, you look at that automation, how do we bring that automation into play? And now, how do you actually reskill, upskill your worker to now to say, what is the training programs I need to see in the next 5 years to get them to the point of they understand all these new technologies? And those make a big difference. And I think we have to really focus on that because we can bring all the technologies in, but we can never take the human out of any process that we do. And what we're going to do is we're going to move the human from, hey, John today may be out doing picking, but now he's still out picking, but that robot is coming to him. So we talk about all those technologies in our report, and it's a list. Like on our first page, we have the key report findings. That one page really can give any distribution, VP of distribution, anyone to look at that one page and say, okay, where do I sit within here? Do I fall into any of these categories? If I do, what do I need? What is my weakness? And what does I need to make sure that I have a roadmap to get better?
In our conversation already here, it's so clear the importance of taking a look at this report and digging into it, because even the example you just gave, you can start your training plans ahead of time for what you see coming by reading this data and by really paying attention to what's going on. Were there any kind of surprising elements that came out in this year's report?
I was surprised that the workforce rose to the number one position as the challenges. And you know, we've talked about the demographics, and people are getting older, and then the younger people don't necessarily want to do these physical labor jobs that we were used to in warehousing and distribution. And then you couple that with also changes in immigration policies, and do you have the workforce? And that rose to the number one challenge, and that really surprised me, because we always know that people are having trouble finding the workers. But I was talking to one of our members, and they said it's a double-digit turnover rates that companies are seeing, like 20% turnover in these jobs. So if you think about it, is every year you're turning your people over and over again, and you can't keep up, you can't get them. And what that does is it drives, the way to attract them is it drives the wage costs up. So you have to outbid the guy down the street, and when you do that, then suddenly your efficiencies start to fall apart. So it's really interesting. That surprised me that it rose to the number one challenge this year.
And your training costs are higher when that's happening too.
Yeah, you're doing continuous training, and then they don't show up. They don't come back because it's hard physical labor.
And to pick it back on what he just said is, in the last year, I worked with one client, and they really start looking at, hey, I keep having this high turnover of my people. How can I actually improve that? So they implemented a goods to person, but also they implemented ASRS, Automatic Storage Retrieval System, which now used to have those forklift drivers driving around, putting away the product. Now all that goes into a shuttle system. But one key piece, they actually did a depalletizing those pallets, flowing into where that it used to be a human doing all that work. And to his point, workforce probably another reason why it probably rose up is the labor is very labor intensive within the four walls of a distribution center or a manufacturing plant. How do we actually use other options to get more people in? And as you said, young people now, okay, I got a tablet. Why am I walking around with this RF device scanning a UCC symbol? How can I actually make this better?
In a way, it's kind of exciting to hear that this is one of the problems that the industry is facing, in the sense that I think there's this big conversation about how AI is taking away jobs, and we're actually hearing that the companies in supply chain need people still, that it's part of the issue still. So I think that's nice to kind of combat the other side of that kind of rumor or theory or trend that we seem to be hearing about. So it's interesting from that sense. But I'm wondering too, this is something that rose and was surprising in the report itself, but are there any new sections to the report this year, or new pieces of information that were added that weren't there in past years?
One of the areas is, and it's in the report every year, but it's different, is the case studies. So there's case studies that are actual real life situations where something has been deployed, and then they show the results. So each year, we have a section for case studies, but each year I would say they advance further with the technology. And it's, you know, this was the issue, this was the problem, here's the how they tried to solve it, and then here's the results. And that is intended to spur ideas for companies that they can look at that and say, you know, I could do that too, and to continue to build it. So that section always changes. But it's a real critical part, because it's real life examples of how you can use these systems and tools.
Yeah, it's quite critical to see a real example. We know that storytelling and examples, and actually knowing that someone has bothered to take the time to implement something before we try it ourselves, that's really great. Now, we've touched on a few different trends already here in terms of AI and workforce needs. Would you say these trends are affecting the industry in a big way, or what do you think is going to come out of this report that you're hoping, you know, helps the companies that you're talking to here?
One thing I think will help the company is we have a section in the report for action for leaders. And so let me go back one step. So I told you about the report findings. That one page in the report is really helpful, but now they go to the section that says for the leaders. Within there, we actually have a cascade of a strategy. It's almost like a roadmap. Where you are today, asking questions, and then how do you go along that journey to find out information? If they use that one section as leaders to really start thinking about, when I go back and I read this report and I read it from end to end, now what questions can I ask within my business that am I on the right path? Should I step back and do an assessment of my current business solutions to find out if this is what we should be focusing on. How do I prioritize? So like I talked to one of our panelists, Randy, his company is already, Performance Health, is already has a list of priorities, but he said based on what he heard, what John and I talked about in the report, he's gonna go back through and they're gonna reprioritize those. That is what we really want people to understand. Taking this report, picking it apart by section, and using those sections to actually now compare to where are you on your end-to-end solution and your supply chain journey, but how do you take each one of those and make sure that where I am, get my leaders buy-in, and make sure that now I know that within the next 2 years, or like we said, the investments is gonna be up. How do they need to invest? What do they need to invest in? And if I'm using my money effectively.
It's great that the report also has these kind of action pages to help you along the journey. What do you think that organizations should kind of grab onto, or what initiatives do you think that they should start putting in place from what we're seeing?
Yeah, I think the first piece that I would look at is it's all based on the data that you have. And it's not only the data you have, but the data in your supply chain. And many companies struggle with that when they start out and they say, hey, we're going to do all these great things. And the first thing they realize is they don't have the data or the data to support what they're trying to put in place. So that's a key part, is to start there. And another key part that I would say is to start. Things are moving very quickly. The supply chain, the evolution, the technologies, and they're moving so fast that if you don't get started and start learning and start building, you're going to be seriously left behind. So look at the data. That's the gold in what you're doing. That helps you see. And then from there, you can layer on the systems, the tools, and connect the dots. But without the data, you don't have a chance to start.
And you said there, John, that tech is moving fast, and that is absolutely true. So I want to go back a little bit where you both mentioned the term agentic AI. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that means? If people aren't hearing this for the first time, what should they be looking out for?
I'm going to give an example first. So you know, all of us have Outlook, and we use Copilot to write our draft. So now with agentic AI, instead of using anybody, they actually can learn all of your patterns of how you send emails, what your emails, how they group them together, and actually can go through and create the email for you and do all of that. That's one way it can do it, but then that's, think about in distribution center. So I have an end user that does a repetitive task. They have to go through, I'm thinking I do warehouse management systems implementation. So they have to always go through and look at defects, do defect management. They can learn that pattern. And where there's no human intervention, they can take all of that and come out with a, back to you what you said, data, it's very important, but they can come out with an end solution. So it's really how you do problem solving, real-time repetitive tasks, and then actually how you take all of that and without human intervention to come out to an outcome. Now, I want to bring this up. I'm not sure of your next question, but everybody's going to think about this. If you use agentic AI for, some people use it in the hospital systems, where you have come to the hospital and you have had your doctor's appointment, they collect all that data, they can actually run all of that and use agentic AI to do that. But now we come into what? The ethical and some of the data privacies, and that things that we really have to consider when we start looking at that.
When I see the tasks that are repetitive, and particularly in transportation and logistics and route planning and all of those pieces where it can automatically assess the situation and make a decision, and without someone going in and actually, like today, many people, they're trying to figure it all out just by hand, and they're on the telephone and calling people and trying to figure out. Here, if you have the base data and the connection, it can search the patterns, it can find the best option, and then it can implement it. And that's the next step. It's not only getting the information and then seeing it, but now the agentic AI can actually, almost like a bot, will do the work for you and do those type of tasks, so that the people who are normally doing that can focus on overall business strategy and how to improve the business, as opposed to focusing on the day-to-day tasks and everything that's going to happen.
Yeah, and it's clear that there are a lot of benefits. There's tasks that you can make easier with this. You started touching on risks, and I think it's really interesting because that is going to open up a whole other side of conversation. Are there any other kind of risks or benefit ratio that you're weighing specifically with agentic AI?
I think it's a process where you have to try it and kind of work with it. I don't think you just put it out there and wash your hands and say it's gonna work. So I think the idea is start it, build it into your business processes, but you'll have to monitor it and you'll have to make sure that you're getting the results that you expect. But as that continues to improve, and that's the other thing about these AI models, is they continue to get better and they improve the more data that they have and as they progress. So what that means is you can put it in, monitor it if it's working, if your customer satisfaction is up and it's rising and you see delivery performance is improving and all those metrics, you're like, okay, it's working. And then that is something, you know, even if you had a human doing it, they're going to make mistakes too. And ideally, it will continue to learn. And I think that's where you can get a real benefit out of it.
Yeah, we know we have to give it that time and give it the data for us to continue to understand. Are there case studies already about this in the report? Or would that be kind of a future year thing because it's so new still?
I'd say it's a future year we're now hearing from multiple companies. And one of the things that we didn't mention earlier was we asked the question in the report, where are you using AI today and where do you expect to use it in the next year? And there was a group of areas, and most of those were in the 30% range, and it was transportation and logistics, so route planning, it was inventory management, customer demand, to sort out the customer demand. So now we're starting to see real life examples of companies using that, and then we will be able to build case studies off of that. But there's a lot of people out on the show floor that have those tools, that are promoting those tools, and they've actually put them in place. And so we will start to see that, and there'll be more and more examples coming forward.
It's an impressive memory you have with some of the things you just named for us there, John. are there some case studies that did stand out from this year? Do you remember any of them?
Oh yeah, I remember.
You know all of them. You guys are pros here.
The one was for Athens. They actually implemented, they had a problem with, it was back to inventory challenge. They had an inventory management. They had so many SKUs. So they actually implemented a bit of vertical lift where they can put the SKUs in there, but also coupled with that, they implemented a tool inventory management system. So it's a tool management system where that they actually can have their end users now, instead of walking around trying to determine what SKU should be placed in this location, they're now putting it all into that vertical lift, and it actually goes through and helps them manage their inventory. And as they said, the outcome was really great, and with them implementing the automation plus that tool management for their inventory management. So that was one, and then it was that we have some great ones in there. We had another one for Performance Health. They implemented pack size to help with their cartonization, and that actually helped with eliminating how much corrugate was going out. So they actually saw a savings in not even that on at corrugate, but also they implemented some other technologies too that coupled with that, and that integration with all of that really made a big difference.
With the pack size, for example, is getting the right size package is really important because it's space that you're shipping. That, you know, and if you think about in the early days, you ordered one thing on Amazon, it was a small item, and it came in a big giant box, and you go, and that's because that's the only box they had, so they put it in there. With these systems now, they know exactly the size to make it, but then you think about the shipping cost and the shipping savings, because now you can load your trucks to full density, because everything in there is packaged perfectly. So those are the kind of process, but that starts with, what is the size of the item, putting the technology in place, but then once the box is produced, then also having the software in your transportation management system to properly load the truck. And then there's actually software and systems and tools to load the truck and unload the truck. So it all, you see how it all kind of connects together in that orchestration type discussion or mindset or process.
The one thing that he brought up is with pack size, it actually drives off your data. So the item dimensions and all that information that comes out of your ERP, it's going to flow down to your warehouse management system. So it's making sure that all of that connected data that's actually flowing down is actually accurate. That's why, you can use probably AI to help manage all of that, but that's coming into machine learning. And that all is integrated together, makes it more efficient. So as we talk about end-to-end, I just don't want us to just focus on within the four walls. Let's look at what's coming on the front end from a procurement all the way down. And that really makes sure that you have an integrated supply chain. And integration, as he said, with the pack size, is that box and the product inside that box, that's all flowing from your upstream systems.
I love that we've talked about kind of the data piece and how you can use it and the case studies, and I can picture someone kind of skimming and going, this is something I might think of doing, right? And so I'm going to read this particular case study because it's something we're considering and I can see a real world example. It's so helpful. But how else or what strategic ways would you advise companies to use the report?
For me, I think it's read the report and then do a self-assessment. So if you see that most of people are going in one direction, but you're way behind, you know, look at that and say, what strategically do I need to do as my company, and not even to be the same as them, but to pass them up? I think it's really used as a self-assessment by taking, it's the heartbeat of the industry. You see that, and then you say, okay, am I doing better? What does good look like? What does excellent look like? Am I doing better, or I better hurry up? And I think that's kind of what we see in that report. And each year, as that develops, you can kind of track how you're doing. Either with the technologies, or if you say, "Geez, we're just starting with AI," and all these other companies have 10 examples of how they're actually doing it. And it's like, maybe we should consider that. Just those pieces. I think that's what I would do with the report. Running a business is say, how do I stand versus the industry and what should I do?
It gives you a clear benchmark,
yes.
A place to start. Yep. Would you add anything in terms of advice if someone was using this report for the first time?
Well, if you use the report, as he said, I would do evaluation of where I am to compare to what's in a report. Like he said, do a current state assessment of your processes and your business solutions. Using that, but actually your benchmark is some of the data, because we got results from over 700 surveyors from all different levels that gave us this information. This is a good way to say, okay, I know these are people that's just like me. How did they actually tackle this? And this is some of their responses. Now, how do I take this and do a list of these priorities and a list of what I need to do, and how do I match that up, and what do I need to move from there?
What would be one key takeaway or message from the report that you want to make sure people understand?
I would say AI will be the future in supply chain, and if you're not already looking at it, experimenting with it, working with it, it's time to hurry. So, because it's moving really fast and it's getting better and better. So embrace the idea, embrace the concept, and learn. That's what I would say is the call to action.
And I would pick back, the call to action is not on the AI, but understand your workforce and where your workforce is today. And how do you stay competitive in the market using AI plus the other technologies we mentioned in there, but key on how do you develop your people where they are today to build a development program to make sure that they stay up on top of what's coming in the future using the data that we have in the report.
There's certainly a lot to think about, and I think this report gives you a great place to start. I know we just talked about it being a benchmark, so certain things that we called out at the end might be a little daunting, but a great place to start. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this special podcast episode with MHI live from ProMat 2025. At MHI, we never stop exploring new opportunities to help you take your manufacturing and supply chain operations to the next level of success. Thank you for making us part of your professional development journey.